Podcast family, here's a quick lesson and example on multitasking. See, this is an example of how limited and targeted and directed ADHD can actually help. So I'm actually in ultrasound clinic, but don't worry, nobody's getting behind because our first patient is actually in labor and delivery trying to push out a kid. So that takes care of that. And our second patient rescheduled for tomorrow. So in my lull, I have grabbed a cup of coffee, and now I've decided to launch this quickly because it's going to be a short and very targeted episode, famous last words, regarding ACOG's brand new practice advisory about syphilis. Oh my goodness, we've talked about syphilis almost ad nauseum on this channel because we have to. We're not winning this fight. Hence why we're getting a French medication.
My little gumbo of chicken, your French fried shrimp is sizzling for you.
Oui, oui, to help us with this situation, all right? That French medication, again, is called extensicillin. We have an episode on that. So to target this very brief episode, I think it's going to be brief. This new practice advisory that came out within the last 24 hours, and there's a whole media push that ACOG is going to do around this. ACOG now has a new, quote, screening for syphilis in pregnancy, end quote. Now, for some of you, like for me, this is not news at all because we've been doing this always. This is just a patient population that we treat and how we manage pregnancy in that population. But for others, it wasn't, but now it's going to be. I'm going to explain in this episode, all right? So again, this is a very targeted, a new practice advisory on screening for syphilis in pregnancy that was released late yesterday evening on April the 17th, 2024. So let's get to this PA, this practice advisory now. Just trying to keep everyone up to date on evidence-based practice because medicine moves real fast. This is Clinical Pearls.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I know it's very easy to get syphilis saturation because, we're bombarded with this thing. We're not winning. We've got to do better, yet nothing is changing. But the way that we affect change is by continuously talking about it, so it's in the front of mind. Before I get to this new practice advisory, look at something that is equally shocking, all right? This was released just yesterday, which was April the 17th, 2024, because I'm doing this on the 18th. This is a new publication from the Green Journal, all right? I mean, shocking. So let me set this up just briefly what it is, and we'll get to the practice advisory. But this explains why the practice advisory went into effect, okay? So this original research from the Green Journal, again, on April the 17th, the title of which was Syphilis Treatment Among People Who Are Pregnant in 6 U.S. States Between 2018 and 2021. This looked at their identification, their diagnosis, and then were they adequately treated? Super easy, right? I mean, we know how to treat syphilis. It's penicillin. It's benzathine penicillin. Nothing has changed with that. So since we've known that for like 40 years, you would think this would be an easy fix, right? I'm going to give you this shocking information because what is happening? I mean, look, we're all busy. Trust me, we're all busy, but we've got to identify this and we've got to treat it. Just the other day in our high-risk clinic, we had a patient that came in true form, guys. Listen to this. Is this not the way it always happens? It's like 4:30 in the afternoon, right? We're trying to wrap things up by 5 so our staff can get out. we'll stay whenever, to whatever time it needs to be done to get the work done. But our staff, we want to respect their obligations as well. So we try to get out by 5, latest 5:15. Well, of course, in that last hour, a new patient comes in, okay? New diagnosis of HIV. Not on meds. That's how it works. Now, in that case, it was HIV, which obviously demands a whole other load of counseling. And oddly enough, I mean, she suspected it. I mean, just based on previous behavior, she's like, I'd be surprised if it wasn't. Wow. But these are how these diagnoses go, whether it's syphilis, trichomonas, HIV. We can't minimize the importance that we've got to get ahead of this. And I know we get kind of dull to that with gonorrhea, chlamydia, super common here, just take this medicine, you'll be fine. It is an STI. And the deeper issue is, what was that root cause of that? That's where we have to get to that. Is there a patient who's at risk? Was it consensual and not consensual? Is there risk-taking behavior? Because when it comes to something like HIV, obviously huge implications, lifelong, or syphilis, which could have huge implications, of course, for the child. So this is why this is important. Again, this Green Journal publication, which is syphilis treatment among people who are pregnant in 6 U.S. states, they looked at data from 6 states here in the U.S., 2018 to 2021, look at these results. How is this possible? Let me just read this quickly because I'm setting up why the practice advisory is necessary. All right. As of September 15th, 2023, of 1,476 people with syphilis during pregnancy, okay, so that number, I'll give you percentages, which is much more impactful, but right now that's the number that they looked at. 58%, actually 57.9, whatever, 58% were adequately treated. So if you read that, you're like, oh, okay, 58% adequately treated. No, you should go, holy crap, 58%? Yeah, 42% were inadequately treated or not treated at all. Let me read that again. 42% were inadequately treated or not treated. Now, and your rebuttal should be the same as mine when I read that. Hey, if they're like my patients, I have a very migratory population. They have transportation issues. God bless them. I mean, at some point, your heart just kind of goes out. And at the same time, you're like, please take care of yourself. Because it's this dilemma that's very hard to fix, right? We can tell somebody, hey, you've got to get this. I can't get people to come in for their antepartum testing. And you think, oh, that's just terrible. Wait a minute. Let me explain why. Because if they miss work to come get their little NST, they miss 3 hours of pay, which impacts their grocery bill. I mean, you get this is real world stuff, guys. So at some point, I get the frustration. We also have to feel for the patient. So 42% were inadequately treated or not treated. And you would think, well, it has to do with those patients who no-show. That's why they're inadequately treated. Yes, there is something to that. But here's the catch. 32%, guys, one out of three, who had timely prenatal care. In other words, they did what they were supposed to do. They showed up. 32% of those with timely prenatal care were inadequately or not treated. Why? Y'all get that. 32%, one out of three, who received timely prenatal care were not adequately treated. So it's easy to go, of course, you're going to have inadequate treatment for those who don't show. And that is correct. That's a big chunk of that. But a third showed up and still didn't get treated. I really don't have an answer for that. Now, this is also, remember, there's two boxes here. Inadequately treated, which means they did receive an injection, but it wasn't at least 4 weeks before delivery. That's optimal treatment, right? 4 weeks before delivery so that the organisms can die and can get adequately treatment of the child. That's adequate treatment. So I get that. They come in very late and you give them a shot and then they go into labor in a week. You can't control that, right? And that happens in our population. That's a forgiven thing. It just sucks. I mean, if you can't come in early for prenatal care. However, the not treated at all is unexplainable. So I get that. There is two camps here. The inadequately treated, which is maybe they had a shot, but delivered before the optimal interval, and then those who just were not treated at all. So while this is super important, the new practice advisory has nothing to do with treatment per se. It has to do with screening. Remember, the title is Screening for Syphilis in Pregnancy, because there's a big change here that has zero implication for my practice because we've been doing this all the time. But I want to read you from the CDC's guidance, guys. This was the same as ACOG. Okay, until this practice advisory. And I remember we talked about this with the OB care consensus that, hey, we're kind of throwing people under the bus here. And let me explain. I remember it was, it had to be maybe 3 years ago or so. And we were talking at, we got invited to a state symposium for public health talking about sexually transmitted infections in women, focusing, of course, on pregnancy. And I said, you know, make sure that, you know, I get that screening again for syphilis in the third trimester, not at initiation of prenatal care. Everybody gets it. That's universal. You screen them when they start prenatal care to get it early, and then again at delivery. But that there was this gap of rescreening in the third trimester between 28 and 32 weeks. And I'm going to read you why the confusion was, because the CDC historically and ACOG said that you did that rescreening, quote, in areas of high risk of syphilis, end quote. That's it, in high-risk patients. So I said to this open forum at this state-sponsored symposium, said, hey, I'd advise you to screen for syphilis before delivery to make sure we get that capture, okay? And somebody stood up and said, oh, Hector, you have a high-risk population, typically a migrant population. Those are high-risk. My patients would be offended. They'd be offended if I told them they needed to screen for syphilis again in the third trimester. That's the response I got, which to my rebuttal was, sir, thank you for your honesty and for sharing that. I don't care if they're offended. Are you kidding me? Yeah, we're going to screen because this is no respecter of persons. This is not about offending someone. This is the world we've become. Are you kidding me? I'm not gonna tell them we have to rescreen them for syphilis in the third trimester because my patients, here's if you read between the lines, my patients, unlike yours, are sophisticated and they're monogamous and they have insurance. What? Are you, how's that working out for us? So I understand it's all in the presentation and the way that we present it to every patient, regardless of race or insurance coverage or nationality, is we check everybody because we treat everybody the same. So whether it's a high risk area or not, this thing is out there and it can find your house whether you thought it was looking for you or not. Now, how it gets into that house is a different issue, which we can talk about once the test comes back positive and we have to talk about it, but we screen everybody. But this was, I mean, honestly, they were legit. I mean, to not offer them screening because they were not in a high-risk syphilis population was endorsed by the CDC. So here's what the CDC said in their 2021 STI treatment guidance, okay? Here it is. Quote, serological testing should also be performed during the third trimester at 28 weeks gestation and at delivery for pregnant women who live in communities with high rates of syphilis and for women who have been at risk for syphilis acquisition during pregnancy, end quote. So do you see that little break there? So everybody gets, hey, initiation, check for syphilis along with everything else with your initial OB labs. That's routine. The gap was, and also at delivery, even though here this throws in at delivery, most hospital policies, most PMPs include that for neonatal protection. Okay, that's a separate issue. But according to the CDC, hey, you can consider it. Really, I mean, you can consider it at 28 weeks and then at delivery, though delivery is pretty much a no-brainer. Most hospitals, again, as I just stated, have that as policy and procedures. In those with high rates of syphilis and those who had poor prenatal care. So there was this little caveat, all right, meaning that if your patient had adequate prenatal care and was not considered at high risk, then you don't have to rescreen them at least at 28 weeks. At delivery, that may be the hospital's business. Does that make sense? So there was a gap here. Now, we all know that risk-based treatments have a role. They have a role for some things, and they don't for others. For a long time, we did risk-based screening for gestational diabetes. I remember that, and then it went to universal because, well, damn, you can still get diabetes if you don't have risk factors because it can pop up. So we went to universal. Right now, we are at risk stratification for low-dose aspirin for preeclampsia prevention. Not everybody agrees with that. There's a lot of many a commentary, which we have covered on this channel, about universal use of aspirin. So that's controversial as well. But this issue here of risk stratification for retesting for syphilis at 28 weeks and then at delivery, although again, delivery, a little bit different, was left to a risk-based issue. Man, And honestly, I did feel like I was treating my patient population, which I've always had since residency, a little bit different compared to somebody else. And that wasn't right. Well, this is where ACOG's new practice advisory comes in. So before I get into that, let me just give you the first listed author of this publication from April the 17th from the Green Journal under original research. Again, that was Alyssa Tanis, and the title was Syphilis Treatment Among People Who Are Pregnant in Six U.S. States, 2018 to 2021. Now that we've done that, let's get to the practice advisory. Thank you for being part of our podcast family. We really are grateful and thankful that you've chosen to take this journey of medical education with us. You're listening to Clinical Pearls. Okay, everyone, here's the shocking percentage. So if you get ready to do your oral boards nationwide, not based on individual states, this is why we're in deep doo-doo, okay? Quote, congenital syphilis. So let's stop there for a minute. No, it's not maternal syphilis, like, oh, just not getting treated. No, it's true congenital syphilis. Here's the catch. Quote, congenital syphilis cases are increasing at an alarming rate across the United States. Look at these numbers. From 2012 to 2021, congenital syphilis increased by 755%. 755%. What? I mean, I want that kind of return on my retirement. Could you imagine? I mean, 755% increase is phenomenal and also unheard of for any kind of investment. So that'd be a good thing. But for congenital syphilis is horrifying. Horrifying. ACOG goes on to say in this practice advisory, quote, according to the CDC, 88% of congenital syphilis cases in 2022 could have been prevented with timely screening and treatment, end quote. 88%, guys. Guys, we're not talking about some third world developing country. This is the U.S., 88% of congenital syphilis cases could have been prevented. It's just astounding. Hence, this new practice advisory. So outside of the allowance of extensicillin being brought in from the French manufacturer, which I think is good, we need to get anything that we can in light of our current bicillin shortage, our benzathine penicillin shortage. I think bringing this in is a fantastic idea. But the ACOG now makes the case that while in the past we called for rescreening at 28 weeks and then again at delivery based on high-risk populations, that is now gone. Okay, so now, because of these crazy rates of syphilis, it is now universal. So that person who stood up during our Public Health Texas Forum and said, Hector, didn't do that laugh. I just added that for sarcasm. My patients are not like yours. Oh, sit down. No, that's not what I said. But inside, I did. I was like, come on. This is that kind of thinking. And it's not a back slap towards my patient population, though I kind of took it like that, or an insult to yours or kudos to yours. It's not about that. It's about treating everybody the same to prevent this horrible issue of syphilis, all right? So it is now universal. So it's no longer based on risk factors. It's in every patient at 28 weeks and in every patient at delivery. As we drive this home and as we close up this very targeted episode, let me just read to you the exact wording from this practice advisory, which is already what we've stated. Quote, in the context of the rapidly increasing rates of congenital syphilis, OBGYNs and other obstetric care professionals should screen all pregnant women serologically for syphilis at the first prenatal visit, followed by universal rescreening during the third trimester and at birth, rather than a risk-based approach for testing, end quote. You don't say. All right, now that we've covered that, let's go ahead and bring it home. right, podcast family, that brings us to a wrap. As always, we're thankful for you, and we're glad you're part of our podcast community. We'll see you on another episode of Clinical Pearls.